This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, March 8th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker. Tons of good stuff to get into. I haven't even talked to my guy, J-Book, since spring ball kicked off this week. There's just so much good stuff to get into. We're going to start off talking about QB1. I just assumed it's Will Howard's job, and he's been going second behind Devin Brown, and some people like me have opined that's just early spring. Don't put too much stock into that. Some people have now said, I don't know, maybe Devin Brown can win the job. So we're going to get J-Book's thoughts on that to kick off the show. Before we do that, I want to let you guys know about our awesome sponsor, Factor Meals, and a great deal you guys can get 50% off any order. It's great stuff. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. I've been telling you guys, I like a lot of their stuff. Their chicken dishes are great. Their smoothies. And it's legit. It's ready in 2 minutes. Pop it in your microwave, ready in 2 minutes, and it's high quality and good tasting food. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50. Use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off any order. That's code bucknuts50 at factormeals.com/bucknuts50 to get 50% off. Highly recommend it to you guys, and that's a great deal. All right. I'll tell you what's a great deal is having Jonah Booker on the Friday Morning 5. Good morning to you, sir. All right, let's get right
to it. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. Now that I get to see you, I tell you what, it's been such a fun week. Let's start with QB1. Patrick Murphy jumped into the practice report I did yesterday and said, you know what, I'm starting to think there might be something more to Devin Brown taking the first team reps at quarterback than just it's early spring. I disagree. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Do you think this is an actual good battle between Brown and Howard, or you think Howard's definitely going to be QB1?
I think it's a healthy battle, Dave. I think it's something that is definitely needed. You just can't give a kid the starting role off bat, especially with Devin Brown. He's highly competitive. He's been talking the talk lately. And the thing about him, it was not necessarily a question about his ability. It was always about his durability. Can he stay healthy? And that's the thing. Can he stay healthy this spring? And you have to love it, Dave. Will Howard may end up being the starting quarterback to take the first snaps in the fall. I tend to think that that's going to be the case. However, he's not going to be given the position. It's not going to be handed to him. What did Ryan Day say in the press conference this past week? When you come to Ohio State, you're not going to be given the starting quarterback position. That's something that you will have to earn. And they're going to make Will Howard earn it every step of the way. And that's what you want to see, because we've seen it in the past, Dave. Hadn't been a lot of competition. You know, guys were guaranteed the spot for better or worse. They were star quarterbacks, and, you know, they probably earned that nod. Now you have a situation where you have five guys in the room. Not everybody's going to get a fair crack when you're talking about Aaron Nolan and Julian Sand. But those top three guys, let those boys battle it out. Chart every throw. Let Chip Kelly come in with his expertise and say, hey, this quarterback earned it. And if so, we ride with him, because that's the quarterback that has the chance to lead them to a national championship.
Yeah, I like that they're competing. And I've always liked Devin Brown. And I hope, my hope is, if I'm right that Will Howard's going to be QB1, I hope Devin Brown stays, because Will Howard, they like to run the ball. Chip Kelly's going to run the ball with the quarterback. They're running doing some power run drills yesterday when I was out there. And he's one play away from getting hurt if Will Howard is QB1, and then you would need a guy like Devin Brown to step in there. So, I don't know. I'm still going to be shocked if Will Howard's not QB1. You know, I mean, I don't want to say Ryan Day promised him the job or he wouldn't have come here, but I bet there was at least some, like, it's your job to lose type thing. Don't you think? Or Will Howard wouldn't have come here.
Yeah, I think he was given, I mean, there was kind of probably a nod type of situation. But keep in mind, Dave, coming out of the bowl, the Missouri game, there was such a big emphasis on giving that stage to Devin Brown to see what he can actually do. And boom, he goes down hurt. It would have been a huge mistake by Ryan Day not to at least go into the transfer portal and bring in a guy who's going to be able to battle for the position. At worst, you're talking about someone who's going to be able to have an insurance policy in case Devin Brown were to get hurt again. So I definitely think it was the right decision going into the portal to bring in a guy who could potentially be your starter. But right now, I think it's way too early in the process. They're still going to battle it out. I mean, there's going to be a ton of reps. What I would say, Dave, is what, week one, 150 reps. Chip Kelly said that they were able to go through. That's a lot of reps for just day one. You think about that throughout the spring, throughout the fall. If you're able to get those many reps in every single day, there's going to be a clear-cut situation. And the one thing I will add, I think they learned from last year. You can't drag this out like you did with Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. You need to be able to name your starter early on, make it a definitive decision. Don't sit on the fence. Have confidence in your decision and let that person get the keys to the offense and let him be the leader that he needs to be. I'd rather for them to, you know, make a decision sooner rather than later. But right now, with spring just starting, it's very early.
Yeah, and Chip Kelly talked about this week. Like, he's, from his experience, just letting it happen organically is the way to go, as far as you don't want to have a date. Because somebody asked him, do you want to know who QB1 is leaving spring for sure? And he said, in my experience, like, you don't want to put like a deadline on it. It'll just happen naturally. So for those that are wondering, will we know after spring? Maybe, maybe not. Again, though, to repeat myself, I'll be very surprised if Will Howard's not QB1. I hope all five scholarship quarterbacks are here in the fall. What a luxury that would be. All right, let's get on. We got a chance to meet with Jim Knowles and a bunch of defensive players yesterday. I want to start with linebacker and get your thoughts on that. Sonny Styles moving to linebacker. Awesome. We expected it would happen. It happened. They're not messing around. It happened first day of spring. Cody Simon has really stepped up as the leader of that group. He's locked in as a starter. I assume Sonny's going to be the other starter. C.J. Hicks, I asked Jim Knowles about C.J. Hicks. You know, he's a guy that they like, but he still has to learn the defense more and just think less and just play more. I asked about Gabe Powers, Arvell Reese. I'm sure you saw all that. Just break down what you see from this linebacking core, Jay Book.
Probably the most athletic linebacking group that we've seen in a while. Moving Sonny Styles down to that position. I mean, it was inevitable, Dave. The guy's 6'4", 235, and I had tweeted out, you look at Baron Browning, who's 6'3", 240 as a pro. This is Sonny at 19 years old. He's a donut and a double cheeseburger away from pushing that 240 mark. With his athleticism, I think you could be highly creative with him, Arvell Reese, C.J. Hicks on the field at certain times. You get in the third and long package, move Sonny up to the line of scrimmage, let him use that athleticism to bend the arc to beat an offensive tackle in the Big Ten. On the other side, you got another freak guy in Arvell Reese, who's about 6'3", 6'4", that looks like an absolute man-child. So you can be so creative with this linebacker group. The key is don't have those guys get the brakes beat off of them because they are not rotating in linebackers. I know we've complained about it ad nauseum, and that was kind of the Jim Knowles philosophy coming in. And he also admitted that maybe, you know, my philosophy of not rotating linebackers stems from me being a coach at Oklahoma State and Duke, where you didn't have as many capable guys. So you had to just ride the guys that you had. At a place like Ohio State, there shouldn't be a reason why C.J. Hicks, Gabe's Power, Arvell Reese. All five of those linebackers should be in some type of form of rotation so that once you get to November, you don't have a situation where you're forced to play a linebacker. Now, the one thing I did love from Jim Knowles is hearing about the creativity, the things and the looks that he wants to have with this defense. I think that's going to be really big, that you can have a diverse front, moving JT, moving Jack around, creating some mismatches where you have a five-man front, kicking those guys on the outside to the inside. With the depth on this defense, it allows you so much flexibility. And that I'll tell you why that was music to my ears, Dave. Because one of the biggest gripes and frustrations that I know about the defense was Larry Johnson's inability to be flexible with his defense alignment. I think that was one of the things that why the defensive front was so basic is because Larry didn't want to take guys off the field. He didn't want to be as creative that Jim Knowles initially wanted to be. With Jim saying, this is what we're looking to do, these are some of the things we're going to experiment with, that tells me that Larry Johnson now is like, okay, I understand. Let's try to be as creative as possible. We have too much talent to just be basic.
Yeah, I love what Knowles was saying about, you know, mixing in some bare fronts, you know, not always being, you know, 4-2-5. You know, that's their base, 4-2-5, but they're going to mix things up more this year. And it sounds like, yeah, finally, I don't know why Knowles didn't have veto power originally over Larry Johnson. He's the head coach of the defense. He's the defensive coordinator, but it sounds like Knowles is going to be able to do what he wants now. Speaking of the D-line, we've talked a lot about the starters. They're awesome. Everybody knows about the starters. I want to get to some of the backups, and specifically maybe even some guys that might be entering as third-team guys, second-year players that I think can be on the two deep, because we know the backup D-ends are going to be Kenyatta Jackson, who looks great, and Caden Curry, who looks good. Having those guys as third-year players as backup DNs, are you kidding me? But D-tackle, we know who the starting D-tackles will be, Ty Leak and Ty Hamilton. And then I think the backups are going to be a D-tackle, Hero Canoe, and then I think Caden McDonald has a really good chance to be the other D-tackle on that 2D, because I love that he's the same size as Ty Leak. They're almost listed at the exact same size. They're both 6'3". Ty Leak's listed at 327. And Caden's listed at 326. Give it to me. Then you got big Hero Canoe in there, about 315. I mean, Ty Hamilton is yoked up at 295. He's going to be like the mini guy of the D tackles in there. I love it, because it's another thing that I didn't like about Larry. I mean, there's so much to like about Larry. I feel like we're maybe something too hard on him. But I feel like he didn't really lean in too much on those big D tackles. And I get it. You don't want a guy that can't move, but you give me a guy like Ty Leak at 330 pounds that can move. That's huge. And I think Caden McDonald can be maybe not as good as Ty Leak this year, but I think Caden McDonald's a guy that can help out. Maybe a Jason Moore. Those are some of the guys that I'm kind of curious to watch this spring, Jay Book.
Yeah, I think you hit it in the head with those two guys. And you know, the beautiful thing that was said this week was Ty Leak advocating for the young kids to play. I thought that was really big. Like when Ty Leak was, you know, talking to the media, he said, you know, basically, we need to have a deep rotation. We need to be able to get these younger guys in the mix. Once you start having your veterans who could be in the NFL, think about that. That speaks volumes about the culture, Dave. You got a guy who easily could have left for the NFL, probably been a second-round pick, saying, we need to get these younger guys in here. So when you have an NFL caliber guy, a veteran presence that's advocating for these young guys, they're not going to say, hey, take me off the field if those kids can't ball out. So getting, you know, Jason Moore and Hero, Caden McDonald, who they really love, all 300 plus guys in there. Now you're talking about some absolute beef in the middle, Dave, because you look at the defensive tackles. I mean, everybody in that rotation, even Tywan Malone, if you want to include him, they're all 300 plus in the middle, pretty much, besides Hamilton. I think Hamilton's, you know, right there in that 290. But everybody else, as far as the defensive tackles, they're all 300 plus. Now you're talking about SEC type of rotation, Dave, when you have five 300 plus pound defensive guys in the middle rotating in and out. You're sending wave after wave of guys attacking the quarterback in the Big Ten. No other team in the country besides maybe Georgia Maybe Clemson has that type of depth when you're talking about the defensive line. When, hey, I have five guys on the interior. Then we're not even talking about on the outside where you can throw in Mitchell Melton, who can get in there as a defensive end. Now, are we being creative with Arvell Reese, who's been going inside, outside? Now you're talking about doing some creativity with JT. Then maybe you can get some Caden Curry, Kenyatta Jackson. Like, the hardest part for these guys, Dave, is going to be figuring out how to be creative, because you can say, hey, I can come with this second package, I can come with this third package, and it all can be really effective, but it's just going to be up to the coaching staff to be creative. I will be highly disappointed if we're just a basic defensive front, not showing a lot of creativity, not showing blitz packages, not rotating guys in and out, especially with the length of the season that we're looking at.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, ultra creative stuff that we're, you know, wanting to see. I have a former Ohio State player that I quote in the boarding house often, and he likes Larry, but he's like, we don't do like enough twists and stunts. These are not like tricky things. Like, it's just basic D-line stuff, and it's just way too basic, and as you articulated, Jay Book. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball, the offensive line. My biggest question entering spring was the right side of the line. Who's going to be tackle? Is it going to be Luke Montgomery? Are they going to move Fryer inside to guard? Well, right now, Luke Montgomery is the number one right guard. I want to get your thoughts on that. Guy, he's bulked up. He's up to 308 pounds. He's added a lot of weight since last year, played a decent amount as a true freshman. So I like Luke Montgomery there at right guard. Fryer at right tackle, we shall see. He was last year, but maybe he'll be good as a second-year starter. Tegra Shabol is a guy, when I'm out there, man, I'm like, if he can figure it out, that looks like an NFL right tackle right there. Tegra Shabol, just boom. I'm kind of hoping he figures it out. But your thoughts on the right side of the line there?
Yeah, I was surprised that Luke was going to be the right guard. I thought that it was going to be reversed. I thought they were probably going to kick Fryer on the inside there because he played a little bit there when DeJuan Jones got hurt. And then I thought Luke Montgomery was going to be a guy that battles at the right tackle position. But I kind of understand what they're trying to get to, Dave, because with this Chip Kelly type of rushing attack and what he employs as far as his scheme, they look at Montgomery as being very athletic. One of the things that they need to be able to do is you have to be able to get off your block, get to that next level. One thing that Ohio State severely struggled at last year was the combo blocks. Guys weren't getting to the next level. You have backers just shooting the gaps free. When you bring in a guy like Luke Montgomery, who's athletic, he's going to allow you to get to that second level as long as it's coached right by Justin Fry. So I think with the pin and pull that Chip Kelly likes to do with the quarterback runs and the zone reads, those type of schematic things that he's going to bring to the offensive rushing attack, having athletic guards will definitely allow those running backs to get to the second level clean. So I think experimenting with Luke Montgomery right now makes sense for what they're trying to do, but I do have my questions about Fryer at the right tackle position still.
Yeah, you nailed it with Chip Kelly. I think, excuse me, he likes his athletic guards, and Luke Montgomery would be one heck of an athletic guard. Let's get more into the Chip Kelly impact. I don't know if this is spin doctoring. I don't think this is spin doctoring. I think Chip Kelly will be an upgrade over whatever Bill O'Brien would have been. I think Bill O'Brien would have been good, but Ohio State got really fortunate here, because what if Chip Kelly would have gotten that offensive coordinator job at the Seahawks that he interviewed for? Yeah. He would have taken that job. And that was when he didn't get the job. It was like a few days later when Jeff Hafley left, and Bill O'Brien took the Boston College job, and all of a sudden Chip Kelly's right there. Is that spin doctoring on my part, do you think? Or do you think whatever Chip Kelly's going to bring to this Ohio State offense will be an improvement over whatever Bill O'Brien would have brought?
I 100%. You and I talked. I was skeptical about Chip. I didn't know, what he had left in the tank. After hearing you guys talk to him, after seeing, other interviews with him with national outlets, the guy just wants to coach ball, man. He just wants to coach football, do what he loves. And when you bring happiness to the table, you're going to be better at your job because you're happy what you're doing. Your productivity is going to be, accelerated because you're happy with what you're doing. What did Ryan Day say to you guys? Our concepts our schemes are built off Chip Kelly's philosophy. So it's like having an architect. You know, you're teaching it. You know, you have a really good architect who's great at their craft, but they're inspired by somebody else. Having that mentor in the room to say, this is right, this is wrong, is invaluable. When you're looking at the run schemes, Dave, Chip Kelly can look at what Justin Fry's doing, how he's coaching it, and says, this won't work against this front because the play is designed to do this. The scheme is designed to do this. Being able to have that person whose offensive philosophy is in that room leading the charge is unprecedented, Dave, because you look at, you know, a lot of coaches, they look at Hal Mumme. You know, a lot of schemes were off Hal Mumme's offense. That's like saying, hey, I got him in my room who everybody's philosophy is built off of, who's going to be able to make all the correct reads, make all the correct calls, be able to critique who's doing right, who's doing wrong. And he was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he said, man, I just get to sit here for 8-9 hours and just do football stuff. It's so liberating. You know, Ryan comes and pops into meetings with us, but I see that Coach Day has to get pulled out often to do all of the things that a head coach is expected to do as a CEO. I get to sit there and lead the room. So I think it's great for the chemistry of the coaching staff. I think it's going to be great for the team because he's going to be able to increase the productivity from those players because, hey, this is my offense. This is how you should run it. This is how it should be operated. And if you do this, I can guarantee you that it will be successful. So I think it's cool, man. It's cool to actually have your mentor in the room who your principles and your philosophy is built on right there to be able to teach it live and in person.
It was a lot of fun getting a chance to interview Chip Kelly for the first time. He met with the media on Tuesday after the first practice. It was really cool. After seeing him so many times, like on TV and everything, getting a chance to ask him questions. And then afterwards, you know, after the press conference, getting a chance to go up and shake his hand. This man's got a seriously firm handshake. If you shake Chip Kelly's hand, come prepared. Because he's going to come in and he's going to squeeze the hell out of your hand. I like that. All right. Quick question here from Chad. I'm glad he brought this up because when James Peoples is your number four tailback, things are looking good at tailback. You got Travion Henderson. I still can't believe Quinshon Judkins is here. He looks great. Dallin Hayden, number three. And then you got true freshman James Peoples. And Chad here on YouTube says, Dave, did you see how built James Peoples is? I legit thought it was J.K. Dobbins for a second. Right? These Texas running backs. He might not be quite as yoked up. Well, you're saying J.K. is a freshman. Yeah, I believe that because James Peoples came in here at 5'10", 203. That's perfect for a 5'10 running back. I think he's a great get. Yeah, he's a fourth-string running back. I don't know how much he's going to play, but I do like James Peoples. And, yes, I did notice that he doesn't look like a kid that should still be in high school. I love it, J-Book.
Yeah, he's a big kid. He's put together, man. Like, I always hark back to that picture when he was at the Ohio State practice down in Texas for the bowl game. And he's just as big as some of those running backs there. Once he gets into the weight room, gets stronger, he's going to be a guy that's definitely going to make some damage here. I like James Peoples. I think he's a heck of a running back. Having him fourth there, he might not get a lot of touches this year. But next year, you know, year after that, look out for him. He's going to be an absolute stud.
We could do a whole show just talking about the running backs or just talking about the defensive line. And there's just so much, like, good stuff to talk about. So much good stuff to talk about. And the show's not over yet. J-Book and I have more to get to. But I'll let you guys know about our other sponsor on today's show, Joy Mode. I think I speak for most men when I say we want to be at our best in the bedroom. The issue is that over-the-counter pills that help in that department contain unregulated chemicals, suggest unsafe doses, and include the risk of several other health problems. That's why we partnered with our friends over at Joy Mode. Whether you're looking to spice up your intimate moments or increase your confidence in the bedroom, Joy Mode makes all natural and science-backed supplements dedicated to helping men perform better across their core functions. Here are the game changers. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. Yes, humans. I don't know about you, but I'll never go back to prescription or over-the-counter drugs after trying Joy Mode. Small enough to fit in your wallet and take with you on the go, it's the perfect travel companion. Go to usejoymode.com/bucknuts and get 20% off with code BUCKNUTS at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code BUCKNUTS at usejoymode.com/bucknuts. Great sex solved naturally. All right. Now, I'm not just reading that read. I'm not just doing that just to put a smile on Jonah's face. That just is an added bonus.
Just hey, let me ask you this, Dave. You've been at practice. Talk to me about Jeremiah Smith, man.
Ooh, boy. I mean, it's one of those, like, I knew he was going to, but I still did a double take the first day. I was like, oh, like, you know, like, that kid's just going to be a high school senior right now. And, like, people that I really trust that never say things like, can't miss prospect. I'm talking guys that work for 24/7 sports, like down in Florida. They're like, he's a can't miss prospect. He's Julio Jones. He's whatever you want to say. I mean, it's exciting, man. I mean, and I had I've talked about this on the show earlier this week. I have a really good source who was very grounded too. I'll go to him sometimes and be like, too much hype. Am I doing too much with the hype train here? And he said, no, you might want to get on the bullet train with Jeremiah Smith. Like, man, he is as advertised. Will he definitely be one of the three starters? I don't know, but he'll be in the mix to be one of the three starters. I think at the worst, he'll be the number four receiver. We'll play a lot. This is not going to be a situation, in my opinion, like we saw with Marvin Harrison his freshman year, for example, where he doesn't really play until the bowl game when people are sitting out or whatever. But I'm glad you asked about that because Jermaine Smith, as advertised.
Hey, he looked like he is a junior right now. You look at the practice photos and stuff. You see him next to some of the wide receivers who've been in the strength and conditioning program for years, and you're like, goodness, this kid does not look like a true freshman. But, yeah, I'm excited for him, like the amount of talent that they have. Here's another one I meant to ask you about, the transfer tight end from Ohio Bobcats. They say he looks pretty good out there, man.
I said that in my practice report. He is a big boy. Will Kaczmarek, he's 6'6", 260. One thing I like about the Ohio State official roster is Mick actually wants it to be as accurate as possible, which is in stark contrast to most football rosters where they exaggerate everything. When these guys go to the combine, it's almost the exact same height and weight as what they're listed at Ohio State. So Kaczmarek, it's not like he's just listed 6'6", 260. He is a big boy. G. Scott was going first in some drills, and then Will was going first in some drills at tight end. I really like this tight end room. I will say this, if you're expecting Jelani Thurman to play a lot this year, he's still got a ways to go. Not athletically or anything like that, but, you know, he's behind. I was even told he's behind Patrick Gerd right now, one of the walk-ons. So I think Kaczmarek's going to be a really good get. I'm glad the Buckeyes have him for 2 years because he redshirted a year at OU and then played for 2 years at OU. He's going to be a fourth-year junior this year. Dude, he's every bit of 6'6", 260. He can catch the ball. He can block. That was a really good get, an underrated get in the portal. I don't think that got a lot of attention because that was the first one. Everybody's waiting for like a big splash from the portal, which ended up happening. Caleb Downs. And, you know, Kaczmarek was the first one the Buckeyes got. Like, oh, here we go. We got a backup tight end coming and way to go, Ryan Day. That's when everything was negative. And it's just been one good thing after another since then. All right. I'm going to finish the show. Ask real quick about this. So Indiana basketball. Yeah, we're going to talk Ohio State basketball real quick, my friends. Indiana basketball, I thought Dusty May was headed for Indiana. I thought Indiana was going to fire Woodson, and then Dusty May, who was a student assistant there under Bob Knight, Indiana graduate. I thought he was going to go from Florida Atlantic, where he took them to the Final Four last year, which is insane, to Indiana. Indiana's now they're keeping Woodson. I think Dusty May. Now you got Jeff Goodman saying he is predicting Dusty May will be Ohio State's next basketball coach. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and he's one of the names that you and I have been talking about for the last couple of weeks as well. I mean, he's done a great job down there at Florida Atlantic. And that was the biggest worry, Dave. Would that Indiana job open up? I can't believe they're keeping Woodson. I have no idea why, besides a monetary reason, they don't want to pay a buyout or something like that. But I don't understand why they're keeping Woodson. But, hey, to each their own. But, yeah, if Ohio State's able to land him, I do think that he would be a heck of a coach here. Can he elevate the program? I think he can. I think he should probably make sure that he tries to keep some of the coaching staff around because those guys are playing some of their best basketball of the season. If he can keep some of the coaches on the staff with the chops that he's going to bring as far as his coaching acumen, Dave, I think it would be an absolute home run hire for the basketball program.
Yeah, in my perfect world, my utopia, they bring in Dusty May and somehow keep Jake Diebler on staff. Yes. Although Jake might be parlaying what he's doing right now into a good head coaching gig. I don't know. Maybe if he can only get, let's say, like a job in the Horizon League or a MAC job, maybe he would stay at Ohio State if they gave him a nice pay raise. But who knows? Dusty May, that seems like that would be a very good hire. And it's interesting you have heavy hitters predicting that that's now going to happen. Great stuff, as always, from Jonah Booker. fantastic stuff as always on a Friday from Mr. Jonah Booker. Appreciate it, Jay Book. Thanks to all of you. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.